Band of Christian Brothers.
All right, and welcome to another episode of Band of Christian Brothers. I'm your host, David Gilbert.
I'm Josh Chesney.
And welcome to our third episode. Now, before we begin, we'd like to start off with a prayer. And before this episode actually started, Josh pointed out, you know, we always do a prayer before the episode, but never recording it on air. So we are going to do the prayer publicly today. So
it's the man's prayer, right? Like, yeah. Just like Red Green used to do? I'm a man, and I can change if I have to, I guess.
No, it's a little bit more reverent than that. So.
Well, that's probably good.
Yeah.
Reverent prayer is better than not.
It is. Yeah. All right. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. We ask you to please bless this program. Please bless our conversation today. And may what we say be your words and impact those men, those people that you want to hear this message. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
So, today, I want to talk about where our strength, you know, where do we draw our strength, right? Do we draw our strength from inside ourselves or outside of ourselves, right? And so the whole key to our spiritual life is to let the Holy Spirit into our lives. So Jesus is the example of what it is to be a man, right? In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, it says, you know, Christ grew in strength. And in 2 Timothy 1, 7, you know, it says, you know, the Spirit of God is no cowardly spirit. So when we had our confirmation, we were given the Holy Spirit, which in the Bible it says there's no cowardly spirit. So we need to take courage and be a man. And those were the words that King David gave to his son Solomon on his deathbed. Take courage and be a man. And what he meant by be a man is be a man in the Lord, right? And that's what I want to discuss is how do we develop strength and how do we become strong? So how do we become strong? The first step, I believe, is we must surrender. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, be strong in the grace of God.
If we take just a quick second here, Dave.
Yep.
Surrendering seems like it's the opposite of strength. Like, to surrender would be to, you know, lay down your arms, to give power or control over to something else. That is counterintuitive.
Oh, exactly. I mean, well, that's the thing, and especially for us men. I mean, I think we love to be in control, and so surrendering seems definitely counterintuitive and very difficult. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, most often than not, we like to do it our way, and you know, I know we probably will do quite a few Trump examples. I'm not going to tell you if I'm for or against Trump, but he does give you a lot of material and things to think about.
Well, he's easy pickings, really.
Exactly. And, you know, here's a guy who, you know, God bless him, is very self-centered and relies on his own gifts and talents, which, by the way, is a gift from God. It didn't come from him. God gave it to him. So hopefully he uses it for the good. But in the president's ball or whatever,
that's actually what it's called. It's the president's ball.
Okay, good. So anyways, the first dance and the first song was Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way.
I did it my way. Did you like that, Dave?
That was beautiful. But kind of threw me off a bit. I wasn't expecting the song, but I'm sure Michelle.
I have my moments.
I'm sure Michelle really appreciates your singing.
See, I usually only sing in the grocery store.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't sing at all. I lip sync. So, anyways. So, but I mean, it's a prime example, right? I mean, you know, he did it his way. And what we need to do, though, is do it God's way, right? I mean, there's different types of strength, right? There's physical strength, mental strength, spiritual strength, right? And there's a difference between natural strength and supernatural strength. And, you know, a prime example is David and Goliath, right? Here's Goliath, this massive dude, Some say he was a giant. I don't know if he was actually a giant, but he was definitely, you know, very tall.
Well, that's...
He knew that he couldn't defeat Goliath on his own. You know, he had to rely on God's strength. And that is why David, you know, is a prime example of this. And that's why when David told his son Solomon to take courage and be a man in the Lord in the Old Testament, David knew where that strength he had came from. You know, we all have Goliaths in our lives. You know, it's those saints, those sins and those, you know, vices and temptations. Those are the Goliaths in our life. And just like David knew he could overcome any obstacle if he drew his strength from God, so too we need to rely on God's strength to overcome our own Goliaths that we face.
I think it's really important to point out that, you know, when you read the Old Testament and you read about the life of David, if you're actually paying attention, you realize he did some pretty messed up stuff. He did some bad things. He did some things that would not make you think of him as being saintly or divine in any kind of office. He killed some people. He had somebody killed. He stole somebody's wife. You know, he did some bad stuff, but he's a prime example of the power of God and the redeeming qualities that God offers us. You know, how many times is it said that he had a heart after God?
Exactly, right? And that's the thing. If you read the Psalms, you know, David is always after God. But also too, he takes responsibility for his actions, right? He doesn't make excuses. He repents, and he created these beautiful Psalms. And that's the thing. You know, we shouldn't make excuses for doing what we do, right? I mean, I'm Italian, so, you know, that's why I do this or that. Or I'm Irish, and so that's why I drink or lose my temper.
Whoa, lay off the Irish, all right?
But we shouldn't hide behind those excuses, right? We all have a choice. We can focus on our weakness, or we could focus on Christ's strength, right? And we could sit here and make all the excuses we want, or we could stop and acknowledge those weaknesses in our lives and that we need God to strengthen us. So every day that we wake up, we make that choice.
Yeah. Every day we wake up and make that choice.
That's right.
It's got to be that everyday thing.
And Josh, you were sharing with me, what's your morning routine that you do?
My routine's a little bit thrown off now with this new job that I have. But prior to when it was a good routine and I, you know, got to get it into work, you know, around the 9-ish hour, I would be able to wake up in a leisurely time and you know, totus tuus. You know, offering my day up immediately to Mary and to God. One of the prayers that I try to say every morning speaks specifically about taking away my pride. Like, I'm a very proud person. And I ask God, you know, take my pride from me. Make the bedrock of my personality you and everything about you, not about me. Yeah. Well, because I need to surrender that particular part of me that is detrimental to getting to heaven. It's not going to help me in the long run.
Yeah, and I think that's really beautiful, and it ties in, I think, to the first step that we need to do in order to draw our strength is we need to surrender to God. We need to take that responsibility, no excuses. So your example of waking up on the day, you know, your saying of totus tuus, you know, for me it's servium, you know, I will serve, you know, and you know, that's what we need to do because it's our decisions that brought us here, right? And we need to surrender to God because God wants to give us all the graces that he wants to bestow upon us so that we can be strong. But we'll never grow in strength or in the Lord until we take that responsibility in the decisions we make. You know, the strength is from God regardless of our past. And I think that's the hardest thing for us is that, you know, we keep dwelling on the past and the past brings us down. But we need to look at, you know, God's sanctifying grace and, you know, his love and forgiveness. And we need to focus on, okay, I may have made these mistakes in the past. I'm not the person that I want to be or God is calling me to be. But today is a new day and I'm moving towards that goal, that ultimate destiny of becoming a saint. And so it's about picking yourself up, trusting in God and doing that.
And that's one of those things where, you know, you're offering it up every day and you're giving permission to God. You're giving permission to Jesus. You're giving permission to Mary to make the changes in you that are necessary so that you can become that person. And this is a long-range plan. This is going to happen overnight. This is the building blocks, the foundation that you're forming.
Amen. And you know what? And that's the thing. A prime example also, too, is St. Peter walking on water. You know, as long as he kept focused on Christ, he was okay. But as soon as he took his eyes off Christ and looked at the situation around him, you know, the waves, the wind blowing, or he focused on himself, he would start to sink, right? So that's kind of like us too. Once we take our eyes off Christ, you know, we get distracted. And so we sink spiritually in our lives. And so we need to remember that we can do anything in Christ who strengthens me. And that's what St. Paul says in Philippians. And I just love that quote. Which brings me to the second step in terms of how do we become strong, which is discipline, which another word is, you know, self-control, right? In the Bible, it says, you know, in Proverbs, it says, my people die due to a lack of discipline. You know, we won't have much of a prayer life if we don't grow in strength, right? And we need that discipline to stick to it, right? I'm going to spend X amount of time every day praying to the Lord. You know, if you, you know, just had a relationship with your spouse and you were with her for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour a week, and maybe you called her, you know, 2 minutes a day, and it was because you wanted something from her.
Or you needed help.
You know, what kind of relationship would you have, right? So you got to have that discipline to stick to it, especially in your prayer life.
Do you ever think we get in the way of ourselves when it comes to prayer? Like, something that I've been thinking a lot about lately is this concept of constant prayer, the praying without ceasing. And, you know, I get stuck at that point where it's like, well, prayer is my conversation with God. So what, I'm supposed to fill my day with me nattering back and forth with God?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not it. And I found that Father Mike Schmitz of Bulldog Catholic, he's a priest with attached to a campus in the Midwest there. He really simplified the concept to me. Ask, offer, and accept. You know, we can ask God, we can invite God into this moment that we're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can offer that moment to him, whatever that moment is. You know, I'm driving into work, or I'm working on the spreadsheet, I'm doing math, or I'm picking the kids up from school, or something along those lines, something mundane, or something as simple as you're serving others, you're cooking a meal. You know, you can bring God into that moment, and then once that, you can accept that God is there with you and accept the graces that come from it. And you can, you know, you're sitting on the back patio having a beer, and you've been, you know, enjoying a burger or a steak or something like that. And you're like, you know what, God? Yeah, this is a good moment. It's just me. It's God. It, you know, I'm enjoying this weather. I'm enjoying my family. And you get that moment.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If you're doing something for God, you're going to give your best, right? Because you're giving glory to God, right? And prayer is not just, you know, talking. It's also listening. I mean, you know, if I was just kept talking to you and I didn't even ask you anything, or, you know, as soon as I was done talking, I left, you know, that's not a conversation.
That's broadcasting, actually.
That's right. So, but yeah, no, I totally agree, right? And so we need to find those times, and there's opportunities more than just, you know, when we think. And another example too is I call it net time, no extra time. So, you know, when you're on your way to work, that's when you can start, you know, praying your rosary, or, you know, when you're doing something else where it doesn't require that, you know, you can definitely find those times to insert God. So.
Yeah. My commute into the office is 20 minutes. I can burn through a rosary beautifully with that. Even if traffic gets heavy or traffic is light.
Burn, he means, you know, reverently.
Reverently. But I mean, well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
Like,
you can get one done.
You can get one done. You're not rushed to do it.
Yeah.
And you can focus, because, well, once you've established your pattern, the streets you take and the traffic patterns, you know, you don't have to dedicate 100% of your focus on the drive. You can actually accomplish something in that multitasking stage while you're checking your mirrors and your blind spots and using your turn signal.
Yeah. No, exactly. Which brings me to the next point. You know, the need for physical and spiritual discipline, you know, they go hand in hand, since the spiritual manifests itself in the physical, right? So if I'm physically lazy, that's going to carry over into my spiritual life and vice versa, right? And so, you know, we're incarnate beings, and so we need to look at both body and soul. There needs to be some balance, because, you know, if you focus solely on your body, that's vanity. You know, who are you living for? You know, if you spend all this time on your health and your body, but you neglect your soul, you know, what are you going to do? When you die, your soul will continue, but your body will be dust. Into dust you shall return, right? So, you know, and but then also, too, our bodies, you know, our bodies are a temple of God, right? And so when, you know, are our bodies giving glory to God, or are we just this blob? So.
You mean your dad bod?
Yes.
Is it coming along nicely? I feel mine is.
No, I don't mean to keep promoting the Exodus 90, but I've lost 5 pounds, and exercise is actually a part of it too, which is difficult, right? But you know, it's that discipline, it's that self mastery, it's that detachment and detaching yourself from other worldly pleasures and entertainments to give you that time to spend on your body, on the Lord, on your vocation. Right, because so often, you know, how many hours do we spend, you know, wasting our time, even though we say we're so busy?
Yeah, well, I mean, for those that are, you know, really into going to the gym, they've already got a good pattern of discipline that they use. I mean, I can't speak to it. I'd rather be eaten by a bear than be chased by one and run away. But I mean, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Use that discipline and be clever with your time. You're on the way to the gym. You can spend some time. Mm-hmm. Praying there actively, you know, thinking about, you know, and meditating on a reading that you've just done. I mean, I can't imagine anybody doing a rosary with Mother Angelica and the Poor Clares while trying to, you know, bench press any weight or trying to run any kind of kilometers just because the pace is so reverent.
Yeah. No, you can't, right? But you need to work out your spiritual muscles the same as our physical muscles, right? And, you know, discipline is as simple as making a decision and sticking to it. It's the sticking to it part that is the hardest.
I was just going to say, the sticking to it part is not as easy as saying, hey, let's do this.
But that's why we need to be self-controlled. We need that discipline, right? In Titus 1:8, you know, it says, you know, master himself, upright, holy, and self-controlled. And obviously this is talking about, you know, qualities for a bishop, but I think it applies to us men too, because, you know, we are heads of our household. Our house is the domestic church. You know, by our baptism, we have the office of priesthood and prophet and king, but we're talking here about priesthood. So we are called to have that self-control. So how do we have that self-control? Well, we're going to talk about that at the next half of our break. So I think we're going to go to a break.
We're going
to
take a couple minutes.
We're going to take a couple minutes, and we'll be right back. All right. We are back with Band of Christian Brothers program. I'm David Gilbert, along with Josh Chesney, my co-host. And you can follow us on Twitter, Gilbert Speaker. And Josh,
Brother Redbeard.
Brother Redbeard.
You like that one?
I do. It suits you. So
thank you.
And you can follow us on Facebook, and also check out our website, bandofchristianbrothers.com. So before the break, we were just starting to talk about self-control. So how do we have self-control? Well, there's a few areas that we need to master self-control in. One of that is our prayer life. Again, I talked about it before, so I'm not going to go into it too much in detail, but you know, we need to spend that time with God and make that time and commit to it every day. It is very important. And a lot of the saints, you know, have spoken about how important prayer is in terms of our relationship with God, but also, too, that is the food that feeds our soul. And if you're starving your soul, how are you building it up?
Well, I mean, Mark Hart talks about how prayer is our relationship. It doesn't better our relationship with God. It is the relationship with God.
Yes. Thank you.
Dave, are you hungry? I'm kind of hungry.
I am getting hungry. Don't worry. But that brings me to the next point. Thank you. Is what we eat. Gluttony.
Do you have any snacks?
No, sorry.
Okay.
It's Lent.
Okay, gluttony.
It's Lent. So gluttony is when food controls you instead of you controlling it. So you live to eat instead of eating to live. Right? So this is something that's huge. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like my food. And
May not look like I like food, but I love food.
Yeah, you have a higher metabolism than I do. So.
It's my metabolism.
There you go. But it's true. We need to, you know, exercise temperance, especially when it comes to eating. You know, are we snacking throughout the day? Are we, you know, having seconds in our meals, or you know, eating certain foods that aren't good for us? You know, we need to exercise that temperance and be disciplined, because, you know, and it's amazing. I mean, I'm especially during Lent. When, you know, you give up food or you exercise, you know, eating less, you don't realize how much you're attached to it until you actually exercise that willpower and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I'm actually thinking about food more often than I thought I would. I did not realize what kind of hold it had on me. Josh, you want to chime in, or is that good for you?
You're talking about food and making me hungry.
I am hungry too. So let's go on to the next one, which is actually staying active and exercising.
Okay, I'm out. I'm going to go get a snack while you talk about this part. How about that?
No.
All
right, you're staying right here. So our bodies are a temple of God, right? So we also need to be fit so that we can be healthy to carry out our vocation and mission in life. So if you're married, you know, our mission in life is to provide for our family, but we're also a husband and a father, right? So if you're just a blob, that's not fair to your wife. I mean, does your wife want to be married to a blob? I mean, does she want to make love to a blob?
Whoa. Yeah. Dave, well, let's not...
Just being real here. I'm being real here.
I appreciate that, but you're giving me an image.
But now, also too, you know, with your children, you know, are you in the health that you should be so that you can play with your kids, play sports, do activity, not to mention, you know, extending your life?
Well, yeah. I mean, in this day and age, there's no amount of studies that won't tell you that exercise is good for the body, not just to extend your life expectancy, but to extend the quality of life.
Exactly, right? And bottom line is your body giving glory to God? And your body is that instrument which you carry out your mission and vocation. And so exercise and staying active is control of our passions. So particularly on lust and anger, those are the two biggest things that men face with.
Did anybody else just cringe when we started talking about lusts and passions and anger?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. It's just me. I can be alone in this. It's fine.
Stop it. You're making me angry. Okay, so, but we men, so but I think lust is even bigger than anger because we men are drawn to beauty, right? We're visual. This is why I think porn is huge with men. So what the church talks about is that we need to gain control of our eyes. So the church calls it custody of the eyes. So we men, we're turned on by sight. We need to control our eyes. You know, what do we look at? Sometimes, you know, that might mean that we can't watch certain shows or advertising because it will get us excited. Or, you know, the more we look at these things, the more it controls us, right? So like we were talking about in a previous episode about, you know, addiction and things like that. The more we say yes to a sin, the more control that sin has over us, right? And you know, the thing that terrifies me is actually that when Christ came, he put the Ten Commandments on steroids. Like, you know, he said, if you're angry at your brother, you just committed murder. And, you know, when it comes to lustful thoughts, he said, you know, if you have lustful thoughts, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So, yeah, it's like, ouch.
He's not letting us off easy.
So, but, you know, when we see a beautiful woman, what do we do? Do we give praise to God for his beauty and creation? Or, you know, do we, you know, envision, you know, what, you know, that woman naked or whatever, right? So we need to, you know, think, you know, that woman is created in the image of God. Thank you, Lord, for your beauty and creation. But also, too, I think what helps is, you know, we as fathers, you know, I have a daughter, you have two daughters, and it's just like, you know, that woman is someone else's daughter. And I think, you know, that definitely helps, I think, in terms of, you know, trying to turn that away. But it, also, too, if that temptation is too great, you know, say, Lord, look, I'm having these temptations. I'm offering up to you. You please deal with this because, you know, I can't. So the next thing I want to talk about, though, is one more thing about lust is birth control. You know, birth control, you know, is about wanting to have sex when you want it, where you want it. You know, we're so used to not saying no to ourselves. And birth control stops the consequences. You know, it's the least manly thing you can do. You know, God, one of the first commandments God gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. And our fertility and sexuality is a gift from God. But when you use birth control, you're saying no. You're saying no to God and you're withholding yourself from your wife, right? And not to get too graphic, but the man, you know, in the marital act is giving himself to the woman and the woman is receiving him. And when you use birth control, you are withholding part of yourself from that act, and you're essentially taking what God has given you as a gift and saying, God, your gift is not good enough. I'm going to take it, rearrange it my own way, and use it how I will. And that's just an abuse of the gift that God has given us.
I think it's also important to realize that as a culture, as a society, we've kind of made birth control a woman's domain. You know, everything that has to do with her body is up to her. And as men, we take a step back and go, okay, you do what you feel you need to do. But we have an active role in all this, especially as husbands and fathers. Like, yep. it's a family thing. You do it as a couple.
Yeah, well, it's a family thing, but at the same time, too, the men have to take responsibility. You're the head of your household. Bottom line is, you know, if you say Christ is Lord of your life, then he should also be Lord of your sexual life. And if you're not inviting him into your sexual life, then don't tell me he is Lord of your life, because you're lying. Because if he cannot be a part of the most intimate act between you and your spouse, then you are putting yourself as Lord of your own life and not trusting it in God. Because when you contracept, you are saying, Lord, I do not trust you. I do not value the gift you're giving me. I trust myself, and I want to take what I just want to take out of this. And that's what's happening. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But to close on the whole, you know, self-control in terms of our passions and lust, you know, if we want to kick the habit of our lust, we need a disciplined prayer life and good friends. You know, men need men. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, you know, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, we need good friends, someone to mentor, you know, not someone to go out with for a drink. I mean, that's a bonus. But, you know, you need another man that is going to challenge you to become the best man that you can be, the man that God has created you to be. So if you cannot find someone, then pray to God that you may find one, you know, and that person cannot be your wife or a woman. It has to be a man. And who is going to challenge you? So if you want to be strong, we need to take self-control, and we need good friends.
Amen.
Amen. Still wondering why you're my friend.
We're friends because our wives are friends.
There you go.
We've been over this.
All right. So the third step on where we draw our strength is we need to be men of sacrifice. So there's two examples. I'm going to give you a lesser one and then a greater one. So the first example is Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac.
Wait, that's the lesser of the two?
That's the lesser of the two.
This is the same son that Abraham waited like 100 years for.
Yes.
Okay. And this is the, you know, God asked him to sacrifice his son that he just got.
Yes.
And this is the lesser of the two.
And this was huge, though. This is when Abraham proved to God where his priorities lay. And the best example, though, is it to be a man is Christ. I mean, if we're going to have a sacrificing life, it's going to be the example of Christ. Because, you know, Christ laid the example for us. You know, he said, you know, I have laid an example for you to your brothers. Now you do likewise. Well, what did Christ do? He laid down his life for us. And so, you know, are we sacrificing to others? Are we men of sacrifice? You know, do we give everything to God, and do we sacrifice as a gift to God? So, you know, that's the thing. Like, we men, we like to think about, you know, we all like to be like the brave heart, the heroic acts of sacrifice. But it's those small daily deaths, those small daily sacrifices of saying, you know what, when I come home, I'm tired. I just want to relax, put my feet up. But no, I am going to spend time with the kids. Or, you know what, I'm going to do this for my wife because, you know, she's had a hard day. Those are the sacrifices that are going to get us to heaven, because most of us are called to those daily sacrifices. And if we can't sacrifice for the small things, how can we sacrifice for the bigger things?
Well, I mean, we all have that hero complex. We'd like to die for somebody. You know, that's... it seems like an honorable thing to do, but again, like, well, that's a big deal. Like, that's a huge commitment.
It's a huge
commitment. But the small things, those small daily minutiae, like, that's,
yep.
All right, fine. I'll change the diaper for that baby, or I'll do the dishes.
Yeah, but it's building that discipline, right? Because through that discipline, we're able to say no to those small temptations, which is usually what we want to do based on, you know, our flesh or how we're feeling. And so when those bigger temptations arise, we have worked that spiritual muscle, right? So we're all called to sacrifice to God. And God is our number one priority. But when I say God isn't my number one priority, some people think, oh, man, that's kind of harsh. That's kind of weird. I mean, what about your wife? What about your kids, right? And it's like, well,
forsake all others.
That's right. But that's the thing, is we're not called to forsake our vocation. You know, by sacrificing out of love of God, you'll actually bless and love your wife and kids more. Because, you know, if you try to love your wife and family more on your own, you'll fall short and shortchange them due to your weakness and limitations, right? But if you are doing things out of love for Christ and you're sacrificing your own needs and putting the needs of your wife and kids in front because you love Christ. You are going to love them more. You're going to love them deeper than you could do ever on your own.
Well, I mean, they're temples of the Holy Spirit as well. So the things that you do for the least of these, you also do unto me.
Well, exactly, right? And you know, our wife is our vocation. They're our ticket to heaven.
I'm pretty sure the only reason I'm going to get into heaven is because of her.
Well, that's right. And that's why it's really important to choose a holy wife if you can find one. So, but anyways.
If you can't, you can pray for one.
Well, pray for one, but also too. I mean, if you are in a marriage that's, you know, struggling and things like that, you are the head of your household. This is the divine order that God has laid. And so you must take responsibility and lead by example. But, you know, we must be aware that we can't always necessarily come on hard. Sometimes leading by example just requires our sacrifice. And through those sacrifices, eventually your spouse will see a change in you, and then they would want to change in turn. But any issues that we're facing in our own home, we men need to take responsibility because it ultimately falls on us. So bottom line is, we cannot escape sacrifice if we love and follow Christ. You know, if Christ suffered and sacrificed for us, then why do we think we don't have to? You know, following Christ always leads to the cross. And that's hard because, you know what? I like my comfort. I don't like to be, you know, go out of my comfort zone. But as maybe I'm prophesizing here, but Pope Benedict XVI said, you know, you weren't made for comfort. And the world offers you so many comforts. You were made for greatness. And that's what we are called to, greatness. But it's greatness through Christ. And what did Christ do? He sacrificed. So, which brings me to the fourth point, which is, how do we draw our strength? And it's obedience, right? So, you know, in 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, "For obedience is better than sacrifices." And I'm like, oh, wow, what? Really? So, but if you think about it, you know, if we're going to be strong, we need to be people who obey the Lord. You know, for example, you know, Jesus, in his humility, he didn't want to go through the suffering, but he did. He said, you know, "Not my will, Lord, but yours." Right? So if you don't obey Jesus and you say you love him, then you're a liar. You know, like even Christ says, you know, if you love me, you keep my commandments, you know, and that's John 14:15. Or he says later on in John 14:24, he says, "He who does not love me does not keep my words." So if we claim to love Christ, then we must keep all of his commandments, regardless how we feel. And this is hard, you know, but, you know, if getting to heaven was easy, everyone would be there. But, you know, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
No stairway to heaven. No, that's not what it says.
No, he says we have to train. And that's the hard part. I mean, we have to train. You know, if we are to win eternal life, then we must train to win the prize of heaven. And it's the same, like, when you look even in the secular world, right? I mean, if you look at, you know, a Marine or whatever, right? They're strong, but they're strong because they're obedient to their superiors. In terms of training, in terms of listening to the orders. And that's the same with us. We need to listen to the orders of Christ and the trainings that the church has given us. You know, Christ tells us that the path to eternal life is narrow and the gate to enter is small. You know, we don't get there through it because we landed somewhere in the vicinity. We have to live it.
Why is it always got to be so tough?
It's like extreme vetting. Got heaven is walled and there's vetting.
I got you.
Another Trump reference. So the fifth, where do we draw our strength, is rejoicing in the Lord. And you know what? Before we do that, I think we're going to rejoice with a break, and we'll be with you back in just a moment.
I'm Josh, he's Dave, and this is a Band of Christian Brothers. Before the break, we were talking about winning the race, right? Do you want to take a step back before we jump into our next step in finding our strength?
Sure, if you want. So, I mean, in terms of, you know, winning the race, going back to St. Paul, you know, he says that we must, you know, train, right? I mean, we spend all this time, you know, training for these earthly prizes, but you know, the real prize that matters is our heavenly prize. And so, you know, that's the crown that we need to have, which St. Paul says is the crown that lasts forever. And so do we submit our bodies? Do we submit ourselves to the obedience of Christ to get there?
Well, he talks specifically about you're not just training to run the race. You're not just training to win. You're training to win first place. You're not going for second. You're not trying to just, you know, do anything but finish. You're trying to win.
Well, yeah, there's no, well, when you die, there's only heaven or hell, right? So,
well, this isn't the Olympics, so you don't get silver for second place.
No participation.
All right.
So it's only gold. It's only gold. So we have to live it, though, right? Again, Christ tells us that the path to eternal life is narrow and the gate to enter is small. And the thing that actually freaks me out is he says, and few finds it. So not only is it narrow and small, you have to find it.
So it's not on Google Maps.
No.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I just pray I found it and I don't get off it. But that's the thing. When it's narrow, you know, I don't know how narrow this is, but it could be just the slightest move and you're off like a tightrope.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we, whenever we do fail, we need to submit and go to confession right away. Remain in that grace. And when we fall, the most important thing is not looking at our past and beating ourselves up. We need to get back up and get right back into that race. Get mm-hmm. back up and get into that fight. And sometimes that requires one of our brothers to pick us up to get back in that fight. And who knows, maybe next time around, you're the one picking up your other brother who fell down, right? But that's why we need to submit and be obedient, but also to rely on the strength of God rather than our own strength. And that's only through His grace. And staying in that grace is through confession. Which brings me to the fifth step, which is rejoicing in the Lord. Because you know what? When you go to confession, when you get out, I don't like going, but when I'm done, thanks be to God, I feel great.
It feels so good.
Anyways, rejoicing in the Lord. This is another way we draw strength. And this is actually something that I didn't even know about till I was doing some research. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. So the way we can learn to be strong is to rejoice in the Lord. So, you know, we need to forget about ourselves and start focusing on God and praising Him because He deserves it, right? So, you know, when was the last time, you know, we praise God for the little things, right? You know, our health, our food, the job we have. But also, too, like, do we praise God for when things don't go our way? Because, you know, what was it? The story in Job, was it? Where, like, everything was taken away from him.
Everything went south for him.
And he still praised God because he realized that God was in it all.
Yeah.
I still try to wrap my head why he praised God for it being all lost. But he got it. He knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from God is a gift.
He complained a little bit. There were some murmurs there, but, you know. I may have touched on this in a previous episode, but something that we focus in our home to help out the kids, but it's actually more beneficial, I think, for me, is at night we talk about our favorite things. So the blessings, the what God has done for us, something we're thankful for. Like, we take that moment to rejoice as opposed to focusing on, you know, again, for my little kids, you know, the little boy who picked on me, or, you know, I tripped and I fell, or something bad that happened. We focus on a good. And for me, you know, I was exhibiting that negative behavior. I'd come home and I'd complain about my job or complain about a coworker or something. Something didn't go in my way. But in the process of trying to example this to my kids, I'm now thinking more about that attitude of gratitude and being thankful for big things, little things, the fact that I woke up this side of the dirt. I mean, that's huge.
Oh, exactly, right? And it's so easy to get caught up in those negative things. And I think, too, we kind of give a sense of pleasure from complaining about the things that we don't like. But it does take some effort to see the grace and the blessings that God has given us. And if you think about it, like, just our life alone, we should be praising God every day. And so, and that's the other thing. When we praise God, you know, we're lifted up to heaven, right? We're communicating with God. You know, we cannot, you know, stop and remain in our own pain and focus on ourselves. You know, we need to focus on God. And when we praise God, we're allowing God in. And essentially, we're lifting up our souls to heaven. And when we have our eyes fixed on heaven, I mean, can we complain?
We can. We can always complain. We just shouldn't.
I would say no. But that's the thing, right? So, you know, willpower is not enough. You know, due to our fallen nature, right? We can't rely on our own strength. Yes, God has given us gifts and he's given us certain strengths that we should use. But at the same time, we need to acknowledge that those strengths that we do have, whether it's, you know, mentally or physically, those were gifts given by God. And so he's expecting us to use them. But at the same time, we must never forget that the ultimate strength, and for anything to be lasting change and to have bear much fruit, is that we need to draw on Christ's strength. And so rather than looking at our own fallen nature, our own weakness, or our own pride, thinking of how great or strong we are, relying on the source of all strength, Jesus Christ.
Amen to that.
Amen. So remember, supernatural strength is the grace of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is no cowardly spirit. So now we need to use these tools to become instruments of Christ. And that's the hardest thing. But that's why we need to believe and trust in our Lord, that through him all things are possible. Because, you know, if we don't truly believe that, then we're already setting ourselves up for failure. Because, you know, if we'll either not do it, or we'll do it in such a way that we're opening ourselves up to failure or sabotage already. So we need to believe that, and that comes with grace as well. And so it's going to be a journey, it's going to be struggle, but that's why you need to have good friends that are there with you, that are going to challenge you, pray with you, and, you know, ultimately remind you where your strength comes from, which is Jesus Christ.
I think that's a great place for us to end the show. I mean, maybe we should, we started the show with a prayer. Maybe we should end it with one.
All right. In
the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and these thoughts and meditations. We just ask for that extra measure of grace, that extra measure of mercy, to put these ideas and thoughts into actions. We pray for our accountability partner, if we have one, that you would be with them in their times of trial and temptation, that you would help them to look towards you and help them to reach out for help. And if we haven't got one, Lord, we ask that you would provide us with that compadre, that partner in crime, that brother in arms, that we might soldier forward and lead not just each other towards the goal of heaven, but also bring our families with us. We ask this in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Our Lady, full of grace,
pray for us.
Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, iron sharpens iron. Become the man God created you to be. See you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.